need to come and do his own and do his own. And in a minute, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to just reiterate what I said this morning, and that was that we are dealing here with a bill that has been through the process already. At the time when the bill was in the process, it was declared an act, and that act was found unconstitutional with regard to certain processes that were not done in accordance with the requirements of the Constitution regarding the processes in the provinces. We have given you just a brief summary of our opinion, wherein we give the background towards what happened in the previous session of the bill and what the Constitutional Court has said in that instance. And we've also just discussed the issue regarding what the court has taken in regard in consideration regarding direct participation. And the court has there said that the legislature has a discretion how best to achieve this relationship, and that the public must have a reasonable opportunity to know how about the issues and to have an adequate say in them. And the court has there indicated that the most basic, this means that the public must be given adequate notice of meetings and discussions on the legislation to enable members of the public to consider whether or not to make representations to the legislature concerned or to the parliament. I already indicated to the committee this morning that there was not a problem with the process of public participation in the portfolio committee. The problem of the matter lies at the heart of the NPLP process. And we would therefore agree that the reasonableness of what Parliament's decision is, whether or not to hold public hearings, goes to the heart of the matter. And the court had identified in the two cases that factors that must be considered when determining the meaning of public involvement are the nature and the importance of the legislation, the intensity of its impact on the public, practicalities such as time and expense, which relates to the efficiency of the law-making process, and what Parliament itself considers to be appropriate public involvement in the light of the legislation's content, importance, and urgency. And Chairperson, in this regard, I want to again reiterate that it's in the discretion of the relevant parliamentary committees as to how these processes must be developed and what the extent of participation in the processes should be. I've already indicated further that the bills introduced now, currently, in Parliament are identical to the acts that were introduced and that were declared unconstitutional by the court. However, the court did not make a finding on the act provision. It had made a finding on a process that was declared unconstitutional. We would therefore then advise that the matters that was considered previously by the department, by the committee, are identical as the issues that are currently considered by the committee. So the subject matter hasn't changed at all. As I understand, and that was conveyed to me also this morning by the department, is that no amendments were made when the bills were introduced in the select committee, and that the bills are therefore identical from the bills received and introduced in the previous, in 2004, when the bills were acted. However, and here we want to propose an alternative to accommodate Parliament, should the portfolio committee want to adopt an approach that would include a cautionary approach, we would then say, take into consideration the submissions received at the time when the acts were considered by the portfolio committee. Also take into account that the persons that made previously representations to the committee, to invite those people to address the committee again on issues, or what issues raised previously, should the committee so desire, or should the committee so think necessary. And then also just to adhere to the constitutional requirement that the meetings must be open at all times to the public. That is just to, if the committee wants to just have a cautionary approach to the matter.
we have already indicated that we feel that there was nothing wrong with the portfolio committee's public participation, so it's great to see you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much for the discussion. I'd like to find out as to whether we allow the second before we proceed with the letter of clarity. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, I will have it. Okay. I discussed the matter with the department, and they agree with our interpretation. In essence, I don't want to repeat what I said earlier, but in essence, after the laws were declared unconstitutional, the National Assembly, in terms of the resolutions of the houses, both the National Assembly and the NCFP Park resolution, saying that as the rules don't provide, as the rules don't specifically provide for Parliament to deal with legislation that has been declared invalid, on 8 and 14 June 2007, the NCFP and the NA respectively passed resolutions which held that the above-mentioned statutes be re-enacted in compliance with the court order and that the legislation be deemed introduced in the National Council of Provinces. Now, if you go to Section 59 of the Constitution, it says that the National Assembly must facilitate public involvement in the legislative process of the Assembly and its committee. Now, this means that it's a new bill. So if a new bill is introduced, it means that the committee has not considered the bill before. And that is in essence, we dealt with the issue of reasonableness this morning as well. So in terms of Section 59, the legislative process will begin when a bill is introduced in Parliament. And as such, the bill before the committee now, on new bills, even though the content is the same, if you do not hold public hearings on the bill, it would be to assume that the committee has made up its mind before it has had any submission on the bill. And to do so would, in my view, there'd be little doubt that a court will find this to be unconstitutional in terms of Section 59. Now, I've discussed this matter with the senior counsel as committee requested. Advocate Anton Mayer, senior counsel, who used to be the former parliamentary legal advisor, and he agrees with the matter. Otherwise, he drew an analogy saying, what use would it be that the committee even passed the bill or vote on it if it's something that's considered before? The fact that it's before the committee now means it needs to be reconsidered. And also considering that this happened 3 years ago, lots of circumstances could have changed. So that is, in essence, is the view that you would need to hold public hearings. And also given the fact, now that the question is whether also to call for written submissions only, or to whether to have written submissions as well as public hearings. Now, normally, Parliament calls for, okay, first let's start with the court cases. Remember I said that it's a sliding scale that the court determined. The more controversial, the more impactful the bill, the more Parliament would need to facilitate, or the higher the degree would be that Parliament facilitates public involvement in the process. And in Doctors for Life, because Parliament, the court held that these two bills have a big impact on society, and it has controversial measures or provisions in them that require a higher degree of public participation. And that's why the court held that they were unconstitutional, whereas compared to the Dental Technicians Act, which nobody paid much attention to, even though there was no public participation, the court said that was okay in those circumstances. So what normally happens is that you ask for written submission, but also given the fact, and in here you would have other public hearings. So that would be the normal set of circumstances, and given the context of the bill that the court indicated, it would be proper to hold public hearings as well. Now, that doesn't automatically mean as well that everybody that gives you a submission is entitled to a hearing. It's that the discretion of the committee is as relevant, etc., etc., etc. So it doesn't necessarily mean a long protracted period as well. That is in essence my view, Jefferson.
There are the two views. Can you give the opportunity over to the members to ask Platsky, Honorable Machesco, Madela?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll let Larry speak from the Parliament having one. You mentioned something about Section 59. Can you clearly tell us what I have to say, Section 59 of the Constitution, that something which I did not understand when you went on?
My question is actually directed to the Chief Special Advisor. And given what your recommendations are, whether in the light of this resolution passed on the 14th and the 16th of June, whether that will alter your recommendation, that's what I want to ask.
In terms of Section 59(1)(a) of the Constitution, it says that the National Assembly must facilitate public involvement in the legislative process of the Assembly and its committees. So basically what I was saying is that the legislative process begins not in relation to the other bill, the 2004 Act, but this legislative process began on the 20th of June when they were introduced in the National Council of Provinces. And I also had a comment on the fact that on the suggestion perhaps by the special advisors that recall those people that gave submissions on the original act. I mean, different countries, that was more than 3 years ago. And there are different people, there are different voters, there are different members of the public, the committee is different. Those people might not be there. So it's just something that I should bring to the committee's attention.
Yeah, no, mine is I don't know how to call it a suggestion, because how the public hearing is going to be done is another process. I think let's agree that whether this time given, because if you look at the time, it's going to up to January, whether it's going to be enough, because if I'm listening to you very, you know, clearly, both of you, it's clear that at some stage, this is treated as a new bill. And it will mean that it has to go the process of having public hearing at the end of the day. So I'm thinking ahead by saying whether time given is constitutionally or is it enough to deal with this in January after February, because nobody knew that if the turnout of this bill will be like starting afresh. So could we say then this time January, be honest and say it is enough to do all these public hearings and whether we call it submission. And I think we should not, you know, say like getting into processes of how we do the public hearings. It is another matter. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I discussed this with the table staff and they said that it would be possible to hold a public hearing to call for a resubmission and hold public hearings, which is left 5 weeks until Parliament rises. So it would actually be possible to do it until then. And if there are amendments, it would obviously have to go back to the National Council of Provinces. And then we wouldn't meet the deadline. But at that stage, we could apply for an extension of the deadline that the court has or, sorry, the order of invalidity, the suspension.
Thank you, Chairperson. Questions being asked and being clarified that we are going to appoint the new chief. And when it is mentioned that Constitution now Court has suspended this one up to January and February, respectively, the other two. So it seems to put the direction is that we must work on the new deal, while actually the other one was sent back because of technical orders. Can you advise us? Because we can't have an act here which is incomplete, which we should actually be looking at, and then you advise us to start on a new one. What happens in January next year and February when we haven't attended to the one which actually the Constitutional Court sent back to us? And what was the basis of actually enacting a new deal when you knew that we had to work on the one that was sent back from the Constitutional Court? Thank you.
Jefferson, in terms of the resolution passed by the House, because Parliament did a substantial amount of work on the previous vote, they were going to use these votes as the basis for the vote to be introduced. So should Parliament wish to amend those votes, they could still do so. Now, the votes were declared unconstitutional not because of its provision, but because of the process that we followed. And nevertheless, what has happened now is that the poll has been reintroduced, so the whole process starts afresh. I don't think I've answered your question.
I still don't understand the explanation, because you're saying we are going to work on the newly enacted deal when we have a deal that has been suspended from court. On that day, which one are we going to be attending to the two deals, or what happened? Because we are prepared to look at the one that has technical mistakes, but until maybe I clearly understand why there's all this new process, why she should be looking at what went wrong, so that we should correct it and pass it, if possible, by the National Council of Provinces.
Actually, I put differently. Whether the resolution is a correct resolution, because the order of invalidity specifically instructs Parliament to do certain things. Now, what we have done as Parliament is to say, okay, we take note of it, we start here afresh, we reintroduce the same bills. Now, the question she's asking boils down to whether that approach is a correct approach, that we deal with new bills while we have a instruction from the Constitutional Court to correct an act that's already passed.
And also, taking into consideration that no amendments were made in the NCO, all what they did, according to the court order, was to follow the correct process. We need to have a clarity on this as well.
So back to the Doctors for Life case, they were, in terms of the provinces didn't adequately fulfill the public participation goal. But nevertheless, the court said that even though it's the same content of the bill, and even though the National Assembly fulfilled its part of its obligation in terms of Section 59, Section 72 obligation, which is identical for the National Council of Provinces to involve the public in their processes. That was not adequately met. But the court said, nevertheless, it's a single process that a bill follows. It goes from the NCOP to the NA, and it exchanges that is the legislative process. So if anything goes wrong in the process, the whole process becomes flawed. So what happened? The court said that Parliament would need to facilitate public involvement again in the process, which means that the whole process needs to start afresh. Now, had the NCOP, it was introduced in the NCOP, and the NCOP was free to make amendments, but the NCOP did not. But nevertheless, irrespective that the NCOP didn't make any amendments to the bill, because the bill was introduced, it means it's flawed. Even though the content is similar, the National Assembly component still has to facilitate public involvement in that process. And at the same time, the court declared the 2004 Act unconstitutional, but it suspended the order of invalidity until this period in February. So the Act, because it could have consequences that we didn't necessarily want, the legislation would be not in effect. So the court continued that, the court said that the legislation will continue to operate until this period. And if Parliament doesn't enact the legislation by that period, then the legislation doesn't no longer apply. So we have until that period to re-enact in the proper manner. And that's also in terms of the resolution of the Assembly, which is that the statutes be re-enacted in compliance with the court of the legislature. We have adequate public legislation.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can manage to start the member for clarity, I think the member asked us to just take a committee on the resolution taken on the 14th and the 16th of June. But that's really the one that refers to that the statute be reenacted to give effect to the court decision. That's exactly the point that we've been raising, Chairperson, that the Constitutional Court decision related only to the process that was followed in the NCOP, and that there was that was only the problem that the Constitutional Court had with the legislation, was the facilitation of the public participation, what is called in the NCOP process and provinces, not at the public portfolio committee meeting. And there was also not an issue with the bill statutes in the Constitutional Court, and that should be something that we need to check as well. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know whether there were any other questions that we need to answer.
I'm just thinking out loud. Even though the statutory advisor indicates now, and by and large, it was nothing more to indicate, the problem rests with the NCOP process. Now, would, if one take away the resolution, would it have been proper for us now to have concluded that the instructions of the Constitutional Court regard to public participation have been now fulfilled? The NCOP have done what they should have done before. Shouldn't we address now as the NA said, okay, we don't introduce anything new. The bill is considered part, or is a reenactment, this resolution perhaps the one that makes it difficult or impossible for us to do that.
In dealing with how to proceed with the bill, there was a meeting between Parliament, the President, and the Department on which is the proper way forward. And there was a debate whether only the NCOP would need to hold public hearings to remedy the defect. And Parliament chose to go with the safe option, because they said that process could be flawed, because as I mentioned before, the legislative process is one continuous process. Although it has its stage, it's still one process. So what Parliament decided at that time was that the bill would be introduced, so the whole process would start afresh. That was the decision taken in terms of the resolutions of the House. Had we had gone the other route, perhaps in saying that we're only going to remedy the defect in the NCOP, perhaps it would have been possible that victim if he would have not have done anything. But as Parliament decided to re-enact, to introduce the bill afresh, it means that the process needs to start afresh. And otherwise, what would happen now is that if the NA didn't have public hearing, exactly the same thing would happen because the NCP had its process. The fact that the NA didn't, the court would again find that this would be unconstitutional.
My argument is that we are dealing with the same thing. It's not different from what we can do. You can verify me on this.
Chairperson, after listening to the two presenters, it's clear that the NCOP has introduced a new bill. What we need to do as a NA is to follow the correct procedure of having public hearing. Because if we are going to fail to do the very same thing, the people are going to challenge us in court and will be found not following the correct procedure.
I want to agree with Honorable Manana. I think what we need to look at now, though I did not go through it, it's a time frame for us to do all this work. But we cannot run away from the fact that this is a new deal. It means, when it's a new deal, it means we set up fresh public hearing. And that is why I was saying maybe we need to discuss whether we do submissions or, you know, advertise. That's another process. But it's clear after your, you know, explanation that it's a new deal, totally new deal. So what we need to do now, if I want to make a proposal, that whether we do it now or at a later stage of looking at the time frame of all the way.
Chair, may I propose that we do it now? Because, you know, we've met, this is the third week of meeting regarding this bill. We met in the month of, we're in October, and the meeting was postponed due to lack of quorum. We met last week, as you know, Chair, where I raised the issue of the time frames and the deadline for January and February. So I believe we should flesh out the time frame now. And if I may, given the nature, the intensity, and the importance of the two bills before us, we should have written and oral submissions before the committee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you there are no more questions, I think we are in agreement that we will follow the correct process of having a public hearing. And also the submission within the period of time that is exposed to us before we arrive. That will still be done. So the committee set will have to be on their toes to do what is necessary so that within this period of time before the parliament arrives, we have to make what we have to do. Are you in agreement?
Why are you not getting it?